It pays to know your doctor, it pays to know your lawyer, and more than ever, to know your local real estate professional. Hi, I'm Glenn Drake with Drake Realty, with 7 offices in Metro Atlanta, including 2 right here in Cobb County. I'm the proud leader of over 700 agents here in Georgia. Drake Realty makes the home buying process seamless from contract to close. Our agents are a little different. They're not pushing for the quick sale and close. They're pushing for the best price and terms for their clients. In other words, Drake Realty fights for you. And right now, with the lowest interest rates that we've seen in 30 years, now's the time to buy that dream home, vacation home, upgrade, downsize, or a new home your family deserves. A lot of real estate agents talk big. Let my team at Drake Realty prove they will fight for you. I'm Glenn Drake, and I'd be honored to have my team serve you. Visit us online at drakerealty.com. And remember, it's not how quick you sell or buy, it's how the deal sets up your future.
This is Amy Cargas, co-host of the MDJ podcast. Make sure you subscribe and join Darren Sutherland and me every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for hyper local news and information about Marietta, Cobb, and surrounding areas. Tell your friends and never miss an episode of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. Now here's Katie Ruth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Cobb Life podcast. This is Katie Ruth Camp, editor of Cobb Life magazine, and I'm so excited to be here this morning with Jen Hobby Rivera.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be here with you.
I know. We were chatting for like 10 minutes before we even got started, so I was like, oh, my gosh, we might have the podcast done before we actually even start the podcast.
I know. It's like, turn on the mics, quick.
I know. Well, how have you been, Jen?
You know, it kind of depends on the day in 2020, doesn't it? I think
well, for 2020,
all of us.
And you've had a crazy past month too.
Yeah, it has been a busy time. It's been a time of change, and I just feel like I'm trying to take every day as it comes and look at every day as a blessing and an opportunity and a chance to, you know, just live life in a different way. I really believe that 2020 is here to change our perspective on everything. And if it's not doing that for you, then you need to like think about it, because I really feel like it's here to make us think, change perspective, and really grow.
Yeah, it's been a time of change for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some of it forced, some of it, you know, made by decision. But, you know, for me, it's definitely been a time to reflect on like, okay, what is important to me and what can I focus on that's positive about right now? And how can I take control of a situation that I don't really have control over? So, you know, I started making handmade jewelry. I've started, you know, writing a lot more.
Awesome.
Putting, you know, renewed focus on my career, obviously. So I think it just depends on how you look at things. And I know I'm fortunate to still have a job as well as you do. But so it's a little bit easier to look on the positive side than some of my friends who, you know, are out of work right now, because so many jobs depend on being around people and opening venues and theaters and things like that.
But it's so true. I mean, it's been transformative for our country.
Yeah.
And I think that each one of us has to figure out how that affects us personally. And like you said, try our best to refocus on the positive.
Right.
Take the extra time, either employed or not, to figure out what really is your priority and where you want to go after this. Because it is a gift of time. If nothing else, it's a gift of extra time where we're not running ragged with schedules and, you know, for us, you know, having two kids going to, you know, a million birthday parties every weekend and like, you know, and just running ragged between tons of activities. It is more of a time of being at home and having that extra moment or two to catch your breath and figure out what is your priority. Where do you want your focus to be as things move forward? Because we will get back to normal, right?
Yeah.
We will get back to a new chapter where we won't have to be socially distanced and we won't have to stay home from work all the time. But I think it's a time for us to figure out, what do we want to keep from this time?
Mm-hmm.
I like that we're not running ragged. I like that my family's well rested and that we have a slower schedule.
Yeah.
I want to keep parts of this when life gets to go back to quote unquote normal, whatever normal
and
looks like next.
I know. I mean, what even is normal? I was talking with somebody the other day because so many people have gotten used to working from home now. And, you know, I know there was a time when people would commute from, you know, Cartersville to Atlanta and back every day because that was just part of their job and what they thought they had to do. But now they're like, I'm not spending 3 hours of my day in traffic anymore.
Why? You know? It's so unproductive.
Yeah.
Why? You know, I do believe we needed those relationships at work. You know, I miss my coworkers.
I do too.
I feel disconnected from them because we've been working from home for so long now. But I think what it has proven is we can do it. We can be efficient working from home, but we miss those relationships.
Yeah.
So, I'd be cool to go back in a hybrid. You know, like kids went back to school in a hybrid version at first. It's like, I'd be cool to go back to work in a hybrid version.
I was in the newsroom yesterday just working on something because sometimes it's easier just to work from my work computer when I have to get in InDesign and that sort of thing to do some editing. And like two of the reporters walked in and I was like a little kid. I was like, oh, people.
Yes. Like, hi. How have you been?
I don't have to sit in this dark newsroom by myself.
Yes. We need each other. Human beings need one another. And we need that in-person contact and we need hugs and we need handshakes. And, you know, we need all of those things. We're not built to be alone.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of, you know, being around people, you've obviously had a lot of changes in the past month. You know, people are probably familiar with you from The Burt Show, Kix 101.5, Star 94 now. And so you've mostly been in group settings.
That's
and now
true.
you've kind of transitioned into solo work. What is that like?
It's different.
Odd?
And I don't love it as much.
Yeah.
I love my people, you know, and I miss my team.
Yeah.
But I think that COVID has changed a lot of business models, and it's just one of those things that you have to be adept at adjusting, and we have to accept what we can't control. We have to go with the flow and be willing to change for the different needs of what's going on right now. So at our radio station, they decided to change the music format. So Star 94 was Star 94.1. They dropped the .1 and we're back to the original name, Star 94. And the music is like upbeat and happy
dance
music.
Oh, it's so fun. I've been listening to it in the morning.
From lots of different decades, right? So some from the 80s, some from the 90s, some from the early 2000s, all the way up until today to 2020. Mm-hmm. And it's all about making people feel good. You know, I think our bosses in Intercom just felt like we need 2020 needs to help people feel good.
Yeah.
And when you're nostalgic, you feel good, right?
Yeah.
When you think about the days when you were younger and you had less responsibility and less things to worry about. And
you're in the skating rink and jamming.
Exactly. Yes. It's reminding you of those like old fads when you would wear baby doll dresses with combat boots and like funny old things. And so so it's built on a lot of nostalgia, and the mission is to help people feel good. And so we hope that we're accomplishing that with the new music mix. Right now at the launch, they're really focused on the music. So my role as a personality has been dialed back quite a bit because we want to have that message get out there that, hey, we've got this new music mix. You should come and check it out and just come and feel good. And so as hard as it is to change, we have to be ready to change and grow and do something different and meet the needs of what the audience wants right now. And so we hope that everybody's really dancing and enjoying it. And even if it's 5 minutes that you can listen to Star 94, we hope that it's 5 minutes that puts you in a good mood. That's really
well,
what it
I'm
is.
Sure. I mean, how many years have you been in radio now?
Oh my gosh, too many to count. Well, I moved to Atlanta right after I graduated college. I went to Florida State University, moved here in 99. And then my first job was at Lakewood Amphitheater doing concerts where I got to meet all the radio people.
Yeah.
And then my very first job was at Cox Communications at a station called 95.5 The Beat, which doesn't exist anymore. You remember The Beat? And so that was my first start, you know, my first real big kid job in radio. And that was right in like 2000, 2001. So it's been almost 20 years in Atlanta radio.
Gosh.
And I just feel so blessed that the audience has continued to embrace me in different roles and different places. And I just love it. I love connecting with people through the audio medium.
Yeah.
That's why I was so excited when you invited me to come to your podcast, because I was like, this is it, you know, storytelling and connecting with people in this really unique way, which has seen such a boom with I hit the button here. I hit the microphone.
My hands too. Cool.
I know. I'm too busy talking with my hands. But what I was saying is, like, I just love the audio resurgence the fact that podcasting has reinvigorated people to listen again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are on that commute or when you are, you know, going out for your walk, that you can be entertained by storytelling. And I think it's such an important thing for us just as human beings to connect with each other in this unique way. So anyway, I was so excited when you invited me because I feel blessed to have done it over terrestrial radio airwaves. And I just love this whole just explosion of interest in audio.
Yeah. Well, and radio as a medium itself, you have to adapt to change. I mean, you never know like who's calling in or what topic's going to be brought up and if you're okay with talking about it or not. So you have to be like a master of change at this point.
Yeah, you got to be able to bob and weave.
Yeah. Well, and for people who are unfamiliar, Jen is also married to Grant Rivera, who's superintendent of Marietta City Schools. And I remember when you and Grant first started dating, because it was kind of like you kind of kept the story going on the radio.
Yeah, we met through the radio.
I know. Well, because he was at South Cobb High School at the time, right?
Right.
He was principal there. And I think, if I remember right, the band was performing in Obama's inauguration.
Yes,
parade.
They were the only marching band, high school marching band in all of Georgia to be selected to go and march in the parade in Washington, D.C. It was such a big deal.
Yeah. So they were coming in and talking to you guys. You were on the Burt Show at the time.
Yeah.
And I think everyone could even hear there was like a little bit of flirtation going on. We're like, oh.
He walked in. I was like, he is cute. And my co-host, Melissa Carter, at the time was like, he does not have on a wedding ring. You need to get out there and go say hello to him. And I was
she was checking for you, right?
Yeah, she was. And I was like, what am I going to say? And so she chased him in the hallway and asked him if he was single.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he was not a listener of the show at the time. So he had no idea that Melissa Carter's like queen lesbian of all of Atlanta.
So he thought
Melissa was interested in him. Isn't that funny? So, yeah.
And I'm sure Grant being Grant, he was like, you know, nice and polite about
it. He was. Yeah. And he even told the band director, our friend Zach Cogdill, he told Zach, he said, I think Melissa was hitting on me. And Zach was like, oh, you idiot.
You don't even know. Well, did you have, like, when you started dating and, of course, when you got married, did you have to have a conversation? Because, obviously, being on radio, you're sharing a lot of your life.
Oh, yeah.
So did you have that conversation with them, like, look, you know, you might be a private person, but, you know, some of the things that we're going through and things that happen at home might be shared on radio.
Yeah.
And do you have that conversation of, too, like, is it okay to share this or not? Or are you comfortable with me talking about this or not?
Definitely. Yeah. It's a constant conversation. It's never just one conversation like, oh, we're going to set these rules and we don't talk about our, you know, very private moments or we don't talk, you know, it's a constant conversation. Like things will come up in our family and I'll say, hey, are you cool with me talking about this? Or, you know, or we'll have conflict to share. And I think that sometimes it's hardest to share your most vulnerable bad times, but I find that that's when you connect with the audience the most is when you're willing to be open like that.
Sure.
And so, so it's a constant conversation when there's something that comes up, but I think I've been doing it for so long. I get this feeling, it's like a weird feeling in your stomach, like that gut feeling that kind of twists a little bit and goes, I need to ask him about this before I go for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then I've also learned that with his job as a very, you know, public figure and, you know, working for the public interest as superintendent of schools, I have to be careful about how much of that I share too. And that's just job related, not necessarily personally related. But because of his position and his position of influence over our schools and our kids and teachers, I have to be careful when I voice my opinions about things, especially when it comes to education or teachers, you know. I mean, like, pay teachers more, you know. That's what I want to get on the air and say. And he's like, whoa, you need to just like check with me before
we. Have you ever come home to like the wagging finger, like, why did you talk about that?
No, he'll usually text me, he'll say, oh, somebody in the office heard you talking about blah, blah, blah. Because he doesn't always hear the show. He was, you know, getting the kids off to school before COVID and, you know, busy in the mornings with young kids.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't always hear the show. But some of his coworkers always would and would tell him about what I said. So there's checks and balances there with listeners, you know.
Well, and before you met Grant, like, was dating hard? You know, were people...
Yes.
Because it takes the right type of person to, you know, be with someone that's so vocal and open and yes. listened by so many people.
It's hard to remember. That was so long ago. We're about to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. Oh. So you're tapping into my yeah. memory bank. But I never dated anyone that was just a straight listener to the show. I always dated people that I met through other friends. So they knew what I did.
So they were already aware that.
Yeah. They were kind of vetted. You know,
gotcha.
And that was kind of when like online dating was kind of big and happening and like mm-hmm. all the apps and stuff were starting around that time. Mm-hmm. But I never felt like I could just go put my face on an app because then I thought, well, how do I know if they really like me or if they would just want to like
yeah.
sell their business on the radio or
right.
I don't know. So I never did any of those.
Yeah. Well, we will be right back with Jen Hobby Rivera.
During difficult times, it can help to talk to a friend or neighbor. But once in a while, you need a lawyer. You need Atlanta's caring lawyers, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. If you're considering ending your marriage, struggling with a stressful job situation, dealing with a devastating personal injury, or facing end-of-life issues, the team at Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen is here for you. The Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen team has been serving Marietta and Metro Atlanta since 1972. They believe that getting the best possible outcome for their clients begins with energetic and dedicated preparation. From starting a new business to planning an estate, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen have the experience to guide you through some of life's most challenging legal issues. So, the next time you need a cup of sugar or a ride to work, go ahead and call your next-door neighbor. But for the important life issues, turn to the experts, Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen. To schedule an information session or case evaluation session, call 770-528-0150. That's 770-528-0150. Cawthorn, Knorr, and Owen, Atlanta's caring lawyers. You deserve better than your bank. Better service, better rates, better solutions. If you live or work in Cobb County, now is the perfect time to make the switch to the Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. Since 1960, Credit Union of Georgia has been providing Northwest Georgia with financial solutions that make sense for your home, business, and family. As a homegrown, not-for-profit cooperative, our members are our mission. Not only will you get the best loan rates, you'll get personalized customer service from people who understand your needs. Plus, Credit Union of Georgia provides real convenience with a network of more than 30,000 accessible ATMs and branch locations across the country. Of course, there's also 5 locations right here in Cobb County. Ready to see how much better your banking can be with Credit Union of Georgia? Become a member today or apply for a loan online by visiting www.cuofga.org. Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank.
All right, we are back with Jen Hobby Rivera. So, Jen, you talked a little bit about your family earlier, yeah. and I know you have 2 girls, right, Lauren and Reese. How
yes.
old are they now?
They are 7 and 5.
Oh, my gosh. It seems like just yesterday that Reese was like a little baby.
I
you
know.
You guys were going through everything at Children's Healthcare with her cancer scare and,
yep.
and all of that.
It's crazy. They grow up so fast, and everybody says don't blink, and it's the best advice because yeah. it does. It starts to happen so fast, and then you're like, no, slow down. You want them to grow up and get stronger and brighter, and you know, but then you're like, wait, I want to freeze you right here. This is a fun age.
Well, and you're getting a lot of time with them right now,
yes.
obviously, because of,
yes.
of working from home so much. What has that been like?
You know, at first it was a challenge because it was so
sure.
new for all of us. And we were all just in the house all together all the time. And the girls were used to getting up and going to school. And
mm-hmm.
mom went to work and dad went to work. And then we all got back together at the end of the day. But then when you're together all constantly, like so many have experienced, we just, you know, we're kind of at each other at first. And then we had to find a new rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to find kind of a pattern in our day. Kids really thrive on schedules, I find, and routine. And so we just had to set up that new routine.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls had to get used to sharing a lot more
mm-hmm.
because they are close in age. They're only about 2.5 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both girls and interested in the same thing. So there was a lot of fighting at first. But once we kind of set that routine and got into a new pattern, it was really great.
Yeah.
And we were outside a lot. We were riding bikes a lot. And we just enjoyed the summertime swimming. And the time together has been, I mean, just such a blessing.
Yeah.
I feel like I know them better. I feel like they know me better. I feel like now I can read them even better. Like I can look at the look on their face.
And you already know.
And I already know what's going on in their little minds
mm-hmm.
or what they're feeling. And I couldn't have told you that before COVID and before the shutdown and how everything changed. So.
And it's not that you weren't close or weren't involved in their lives,
right.
but I think for so many people, you just get distracted by so many things in your everyday life that when you are forced to sit down and pay attention and look and spend all those tiny little moments together, it kind of adds up to something where you're like, wow.
It really does. You're absolutely right. It does. It's like, you know, so a parent told me a long time ago, it's not about quality of time. It's always about quantity.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's really great to tell a working mom. Thanks.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Right?
But if this year has proven anything, it's true. It is quantity. It's just being together.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't matter what you're doing because you could be sitting in the backyard and one of our new fun games is playing like the cloud game. Like, what does that cloud look like? And we try to
I play that, but just by myself.
We try to predict what animal does that cloud look like? You know, so it could be as simple as time like that, or it could be as exciting as going to the zoo. You know, it's not necessary, quantity of time is the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I've really learned that this year, even though I hated that advice when I got it a million years ago when I was pregnant with my first.
What do you want me to do? I have to work.
Right. It's like, I really get it. It's resonated and, you know how people's quotes pop back into your mind time.
For sure. Well, and I know this has been a crazy time for Grant, you know, being over a school system. Do you go back? Do you not go back? And for months and months, you know, even leading up to school starting back, I'm sure has been crazy. How have you kind of tried to manage that craziness and your household and still trying to do a job at the same time?
It's one day at a time, right?
Yeah.
And it has been so stressful for him because his top priority is to protect the health and safety of all his students and all his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And those two groups have different needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, us adults have different needs, teachers and team members and the food and nutrition folks and transportation and all the amazing heroes that it takes to run our school system need one thing because they're adults. And then students need another thing because they're kids.
Right.
So it's been very difficult for him to manage all of that and keep that true north, you know, that North Star, which is everybody's health and safety, because there's so much that's played into this decision.
Yeah.
So it is, I've seen it from the home side of things. I've just seen it take a toll on him where at one point we had to have that heart-to-heart talk where I said, honey, you have got to put down the phone and you've got to go do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just what is it that fills up your cup again? So he started riding his bike again on the Silver Comet Trail when they opened that back up again. And that's been transformative for him, is to have that time and space to go think. There's no phone.
It's almost like meditation.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no phone. He can be active and work on that stress. Because I was like, you know, you're at the age where this kind of stress really will affect your health. And
right.
that's not good for anybody.
Right.
Right. Like, you're not serving the school district if you're sick or
right.
if you're stressed out or, God forbid, you have a heart attack.
Right.
Because the level of stress was getting that high and I could just see it all over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his hair's gotten a lot more gray, literally and figuratively, through all of this time. And so I think when he takes that time to decompress and be alone, no phone, exercising, it works out a lot better. But, you know, we're just trying to be patient with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my job changing so drastically, I think he's tried to be really patient with me in the days where I'm like, want to pull my hair out. And then I, you know, and in the same way, we just, you know, got to forgive and forget and let go of it. And every once in a while, somebody in the house has an outburst. And it might be our kids, but it also might be us as adults.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, as a family are going, you know, we're going to give each other a lot of grace and a lot of compassion this year because it's been tough in so many ways. And I know other families are feeling that exact same stress, whether it's work stress or home stress or just the unknown. There's so much we can't predict about the future. There's so much that's out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to lean on our faith in that way, right? And we try not to be fearful because fear is really the lack of faith, right? So we try to remember and remind ourselves, don't be scared. you know, we have a faith that teaches us that, you know, we're not in control anyway.
Right.
So just go with it. But that's so hard for us to do. That's such a struggle for human beings because we want to be in charge. We want to be buttoned up. You know, Grant's pretty type A person. I'm a pretty type A person. So a year like this year is like, whoa.
Well, and I think, you know, so many people, if they were stressed or, you know, things were going on, they always had these other distractions. They had events to go to or, you know, other work to focus on or could meet friends out for a drink or something like that.
It's true.
So it's really been a trying time for a lot of people I know where, I mean, you're literally like in the house with that same person 24/7.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't want to be in the house with that person 24/7. So what do you do to like decompress or, you know, take time to yourself? What kind of like slows you down?
You know, I'm a weirdo. I love cleaning and organizing. So there's something about like cleaning out a closet and reorganizing it so that it looks like Instagrammable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's something really cathartic like, about that for me. I'm like, I have control of nothing in my life, but I controlled this closet today. You
know? The clothes are going to be in order.
Yes. And look how beautiful the pantry is. I mean, not kidding. I alphabetized my spice cabinet. Not a lie. Okay, that is a legit true story.
Oh
I spent 2 hours cleaning it out, throwing out the expired things, and alphabetizing it. So now when you look for a spice in my cabinet, you can go by the alphabet. Hilarious, right? So dumb. But that's just, I know who I am at this point in my life. I know that that's kind of a stress reliever for me. And then I love doing yoga and, you know, getting out and going for walks and hiking. And, you know, we try to go to Kennesaw Mountain and the battlefield and walk those trails, which is just so cathartic. You know, being in a nature just makes anybody feel better. But yeah, if I get in my yoga, I'm feeling a little bit more centered.
Yeah. Well, and for people who are unfamiliar with your background, you grew up in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you went to Florida State.
Yes.
Correct.
I'm a Seminole through and through.
What led you to Atlanta?
You know, it's a good question. A lot of my sorority sisters all had come to Atlanta to pursue their careers in all kinds of different ways. And I just loved that. Like I there were young women in my sorority that were interior designers and some were engineers and some were bankers. But so many of them had left Tallahassee and come to Atlanta.
And what sorority were you?
I was Kappa Alpha Theta.
Okay.
Yes. I should say I am a Kappa Alpha Theta.
Yes. Always.
Yes.
Right.
Short is Thetas. And so a lot of Thetas had come up here and just started careers and had been really successful. And then I moved up here with two of my best friends that were in my sorority together. Mm-hmm. And so we came to Atlanta and just decided this would be our place and take it on.
I know a lot of Florida State people that, you know, grew up in Florida, went to Florida State, but they came to Atlanta for jobs, or I guess it's just like the closest big city type feel.
Exactly. Still a drive to be able to go home and see mom and dad and be with family.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, outside of, well, either Miami or Atlanta were kind of the options. You know, you could go south or, you know, because I grew up in St. Petersburg. So it was either go south and go to Miami or come up to Atlanta. And Atlanta just seemed more familiar because I already had friends here who would come and kind of pave that path.
And that makes it a little easier.
Been successful.
You know some people. Yeah, for sure. Well, and speaking of family, during this time, I've, you know, had the TV on while I'm working because I'm working from home so much now. And my guilty pleasure is Heart of Dixie. And
I know
your brother Matt is an actor,
and
he was on that. So every time the Truett brothers would come on, I was like, "That's Jen's brother."
Yeah, that's my hobby. Yes, he's doing great.
Yeah, is he? What's the filming industry like right now?
Well, they're just now getting back to work.
Okay,
so they have been shut down for the entire time, and there were a couple of projects that tried to get off the ground, and then they had, you know, COVID outbreaks, and they would get shut down again, and so. Matt is a cast member on a show on CBS called Young Sheldon.
Yeah.
It's the prequel to Big Bang Theory. And Matt plays Pastor Jeff on that show.
Uh-huh.
So he's the preacher at the church where little young Sheldon's mom works. And so he has loved being a part of that cast and that show. And they are just now getting back to work.
I'm sure he's like so happy. And
so happy.
Because, I mean, if you think about how many people are employed by the TV and film industry that have been out of jobs
yes
since February.
And Tyler Perry's done it right. I mean, he's really been the leader around the country on figuring out creating a bubble, kind of
yeah,
like,
I was going to say,
you know, modeling it after the NBA and did, the, you know, and they've been calling it like Camp Perry, where, you know, when you're there to shoot a show, you're there for several weeks and, you know,
you're not going anywhere.
You're not leaving and going home. They figured it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like so impressed.
Well, what's next for you, Jen? I mean, I know
it's
you've
a good
been
question.
Through a lot of transition lately.
You know, I think I'm still in that transition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's next. I know that I love this extra time with my kids and being a mom. I feel like I'm a better mom now because I'm around them more
mm-hmm.
and I'm able to be a little bit more focused on my family with that work-life balance from home. I don't know if I'll be ready to give that up, you know,
yeah.
when this all goes
now
away.
Now that you've gotten used to it.
I mean, I'll be first in line to get a vaccine and all that stuff. I
mm-hmm.
want this to go away. I want business to come back.
For sure.
And I want everybody in America to get employed again and to, you know, I mean, I really want the economy to come back and all that stuff. But there are some things that I want to protect now. And some of that is the time with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking at it from a perspective of if Lauren is seven, I've got 11 years till she graduates. So what can I do in those 11 years that strikes that balance between my career and my family? Because
mm-hmm.
it's not forever, right?
Yeah.
Like they're going to grow up and go on and have their own lives. And so how will I, you know, in the 11 and then 14, you know, 14 until Reese graduates, how will I restructure and focus my career goals and visions
mm-hmm.
so that it matches with my priority of my family?
And you may not want to wake up at 3:30 a.m. again.
That's a grueling schedule. It really
is. I'm not
is.
A morning person, so I don't know how you did it.
That's not even morning. That's the middle
yeah.
of the night.
Yeah, for sure.
So, no, it changes everything. And it's such a blessing. I love, love, love doing morning drive radio. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And on those days where you have great shows and everyone's laughing, you know the audience is engaged. Those are the moments that you live for.
Sure. Yeah.
And I love that. But we'll see. You know, I just want to be open to what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be open to what my new role at Star 94 can be,
mm-hmm.
what my new role potentially in a couple of television jobs could be, like potentially podcasting. I'm in transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with a career coach the other day who said for women, and so this is especially for women who are in their like late 30s, 40s, 50s, and thinking about a career change.
Mm-hmm.
She said, this is so good. She said, nobody likes being in the hallway. You know, so everybody hears that quote of one door closes and another one opens.
Yes.
But the hallway sucks.
Yeah. It's like the purgatory.
Right. Nobody wants to be in the hallway. So they quickly jump into the next room.
Whether it's the right room to go into or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a brilliant concept, because who likes the hallway? And that can apply to like relationships, from one relationship to another serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody likes the in-between. Nobody likes the hallway because
yeah.
we're so set up to be taught like, oh, what are you doing next? Or what's your thing? Or don't you have a plan? And
right.
it's like so many of – I feel like the whole country's in the hallway, right?
yeah.
Right
yeah,
now,
sure.
like all of us are in the hallway going, wait, where do we go? What do we do? We're all looking around with flashlights trying to figure out what's next. But I really want to – lean on my faith and just say, I got to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I got to trust that God's got a plan for all of us in this, that he's not gone, that he's here in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's priority number one. And then, you know, when you lean on that and let go a little bit, I do feel like the right things will come up in your life.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I really think the right things will float to the surface. We don't have to know all the time.
And that's what I always hated, that question, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, imagine in 2015 what people were saying.
Right.
You know, because I'm sure where
right.
they are now or things that have happened this year certainly weren't in their 5-year plan.
Yes,
and,
definitely
you know,
not.
Going back to how you said, you've just got to find a way to adapt to change and lean on your faith and just keep the hope alive and just stay steady and positive.
Right.
And
do those things that flow and like feel really
yeah.
right and feel really good.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do that now. I was asked to do a TED Talk. And so
I saw that.
I'm in
yeah.
the midst of working on that and memorizing that and get to deliver that at the end of the month. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. And, you know, that was one of those things where it's like, if you just open yourself up a little bit and
mm-hmm.
say yes to the things that are presented to you, then maybe that carries you to the next path.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping. That's what I hope your listeners can
yeah.
do as well, because we're all in the hallway.
We are. Let's get out of the hallway, please. It's stifling. I'm getting claustrophobic. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Jen.
This was so much fun.
And I've been looking forward to chatting with you. Yeah. So.
And I hope you'll have me back again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And send our love to Grant and the girls. And
I will.
I'm sure well, hopefully you'll get out of the hallway soon.
Yes.
hopefully we all will.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining me for the Cobb Life edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast from your local news source, the Marietta Daily Journal and MDJ Online. Be sure to pick up a copy of this month's Cobb Life magazine and visit us online for more complete details on the stories we've discussed, plus more stories that affect you and the people of Cobb and surrounding areas. Subscribe and share this podcast to get all the latest hyperlocal updates, plus great stories about what makes living in Cobb so special. Or ask Alexa or Google Home to play the Marietta Daily Journal podcast for you. Share your thoughts or questions with us in the comments section or call the MDJ podcast comment line at 404-997-8655. We might even share your comment on an upcoming episode. The MDJ podcast is produced by BG Ad Group, Amy Cargus, producer, Jacob Sutherland, director. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
Joyette Holmes for Cobb County District Attorney.
My parents would be at the local grocery stores educating and collecting money for sickle cell research or doing fish fries to sell plates to help get school supplies for kids in our community. So I knew that I had to serve in whatever work I decided to do. It didn't matter that I was a defense attorney for a public defender's office or in my private law firm or an assistant prosecutor in the solicitor or DA's office or even the judge. That mission was always the same, to serve in a way that the criminal justice system is truly viewed as a place where there's justice for all, where there's fairness for all people who are impacted.
Joyette is a proven leader who we can count on to be firm but fair and never stray away from tackling the tough challenges that face our community.
When I talk about making the county safer through the work that we do as a prosecutor's office, it's that 360-degree approach to prosecution. As ministers of justice, we have to take that full circle approach to make sure our communities are safe. So it's not just the prosecution piece, but we are also talking about educating, going into our schools, going into our community, talking about prevention or opportunities for prevention in those same spaces. And then on the other side, is that restoration. Knowing that even though somebody has been impacted in a way that may take them to prison, that we are looking at what the next is going to be for them. So are we providing some sort of treatment for substance use disorders, mental health disorders? What got them in that position so that they're not reoffending and our recidivist numbers go down?
Joyette Holmes for Cobb County District Attorney. Paid for by Joyette Holmes for District Attorney.